So we'll talk about the recipes that you chose to share and why. And then just a little bit of information about, you know, growing up, who was the person who cooked in your household? Did anybody teach you how to cook? Did you learn more so by watching or individual instruction, that kind of thing? So let's start with some of the recipes that you chose to share.
D-U-B-U-C-L-E-T. That's three vowels. That means it has three syllables. And it's French. So the L-E-T is like L-A-Y. Yeah,
Play. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So what is it you like to know first?
What recipes did you choose to include?
Okay, the recipes I chose, and the reason how I came up with them was thinking back on the scenario, any particular Christmas Eve or eve of a major holiday, and I chose the Christmas time because those were times when all five of the sisters got together. Because I had an aunt in Washington and I had an aunt in New York. So they would come down, of course, and I kind of chose the time around 11 years old or 12 years old. You know, you're kind of coming into your own around that junior high school year age. Mm-hmm. And my story would have been that as we walked into the house, my grandmother's, we called it by my moves, but of course I even wrote it in my account of it that it was really my grandfather's house, you know, in my, my grandmother's house. It was given to him. That's altogether another different only about that from his parents and so forth and so on. So that being said, you know, as we entered into a light blue living room area, fireplace of course, a mantle, as those types of homes in the southern wall were, we call them shotgun doubles. First room again was the living room. At that time, of course, we had black and white TV, but that was also a gathering point for the family, especially on Sundays, to come watch, as my grandmother called it, Ed Solomon Show. Ed Solomon. Time for Ed Solomon, and of course that was accompanied by episodes of Amos and Andy. Mm-hmm. So you can see cousins gathered around TV, you know, grown-ups around. Next room was the dining room. Huge round table, and it must have sat a dozen easily. Because that was the grown-up table.
Yeah.
That was the big table. There was a huge buffet with the drawers that held the linen and serving things of that nature. She had a crystal cabinet that had whatnots and so forth on it. Mm-hmm. And she also had what they called back then, it was kind of like a rollaway bed couch that was also for, you know, for visitors. Next is the main bed. No, next is the guest bedroom. Then the kitchen. I mean, then the bathroom now. When the house is original, that's where the house stopped, at the bathroom. Mm. And the kitchen was up front. But then they added on bedroom in the back and a kitchen and a shed where at that time we had free range chickens, for fresh eggs. And the main staple in the backyard was a fig tree. That fig tree lasted almost as long, well, if she planted it at 18 and died at 106, that's about as old as that tree was. Okay, so we were going through the house, and then of course the last room was the kitchen. Now of course the kitchen was where the kids' table was. Mm-hmm. We in the kitchen. I don't think I moved to the big table until I was around 15 or 16, you know, freshman, I guess, in high school. So at any rate, now you have all the sisters around. It's Christmas Eve night. Everybody's got something to do, so everybody's chopping seasonings. Of course, you're going to have turkey. You're going to have oyster dressing in, as they say. You're going to have stuffed millet chunk. You're going to have rice, gravy, and green peas. Have potato salad. Some of the delicacies would be I got a crab cake recipe, but we usually did the stuffed crab. Mm. That was the way we use our crab as stuffed crabs. You know, it started all off with the gumbo, the preparation of the gumbo, and that's one of the recipes I shared with you. Okay. I did the gumbo. Of course, seasonings are chopped up. The seasoning is chopped up. You're just chopping up a bunch of onions, bell pepper, celery, the trinity, a bunch of it, because it's going in every dish.
Mm-hmm.
From the gumbo all the way to the stuffed crab.
Right.
So there's a lot of seasonings being cut. That's why they're doing it then, you know. And of course, there's a bunch of conversation going on. Of course, we're not privy to hear. And back in those days, you could hear talk some of that broken Creole. Mm-hmm. You know, and you hear him say, "Hey, Lamba," that you're acting a fool, and you might hear, "Come see, come sa," either or, you know, those, and so forth and so on. And of course, if that year things went well through the families, there was no worries about, you know, marital stress, which there was very little of that then. But I mean, hey, you know, you had bills that you need paid, and somebody want to spend the money elsewhere, you know, you're going to have a rile up.
Right.
So, but during this time, now, and again, so the menu was prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was fixed. Oh, definitely, you can't leave out the, I would call it sweet potato casserole, as opposed to just the candied yam thing. You know, that's beating the yams up, butter them up, creaming them up, cinnamon them up, sugaring them up, vanilla them up. I didn't mention lots of butter. And you whip that up, put your raisins in, chop it with the marshmallow, pop it in the oven for 25 minutes, bang, all till the marshmallow's brown, you're good to go.
That sounds like something my grandmother made.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure I mentioned the potato salad. If I didn't, you know, you had to have potato salad at that dinner. And stuffed eggs, you know, some of those kinds of things you put on. Yes, my mother would have it, you know, give it a little fashion. You know, she might even do
for now. I'm gonna leave it at that. And of course, cakes, pies, cookies, things of that nature, but dessert, ice cream, possibly. Of course, you're gonna have, especially when my grandfather was around, you're gonna have some claret. Claret wine, baby.
Claret wine?
Claret, yes. C-L-A-R-E-T. It's a red wine, some red dinner wine, which the Sauvignon has taken its place these days. So that was kind of like that's similar to the claret. In fact, maybe in Gallo, all these different criminals had their labels on the wine bottle, you know. So, and again, now we would always have one thing we had to look forward to was one uncle. He was a big shot. He worked in the post office and we thought he was a big shot. Seagull, gambled, drank a lot. You know, he was a social guy. Let me see, is that the Goodfellas Social and Pleasure Club used to be on Miro between St. Bernard and it's between D'Avondi and Onzaga. It's the second block off of, you can see it now, it's abandoned, if you put it, a cinder block building there. And on the fancy side, there was also a bar on the corner, we still have a bar on the corner of D'Avondi and Miro. Well, he would go over there and get his chair on and come. When he came to the dinner, he had his chair on. But he wasn't a very he was a mischief maker. And he used my father as the target. My dad only had stretching an eighth grade education. That's stretching. He had to, his dad left. He had to, like Francis, he had 14 years old. He's out there trying to help his mama with his siblings.
Right.
So that was his upbringing. So he ran to his, we tip our hat to him, with limited education, he was able to form his own business, which was Refuge, and he worked with the Sears Corporations, Barone Street, Gentilly, and eventually he got the warehouse as well, collecting the Refuge. Well, he used Refuge and doing what they're doing today, he recycled. Corrugated cardboard boxes, these big huge boxes, the cardboard boxes that the refrigerators came in, they threw that away. Right under my dad's truck that we stacked up about 2,300 pounds or 4,000 pounds of cardboard. Bring it on there and let Lynn Phillips sell it. That's an extra $300-$400 a week. Same thing when they came in your home and brought you a new refrigerator, any appliance, they took the old one. Well, guess what? They threw that old one away, right on my dad's truck. Put it in our yard and worked out as a junkyard, dismantling, collecting precious metals, like they do today. They hustle the copper out of these houses. They ripping the houses off of the copper, but he would take the motors, all of that motors had copper. Put them in a fire furnace, the whatever they had around, insulation is what I'm looking for. And we pull a wire out, man, that'd be another 50, $60 because you're not going to collect a whole lot of motors. And then the motors were cast iron. That sold. Mm-hmm. Aluminum is always selling, even to today. Aluminum cans. These cats hustle aluminum cans, beer cans, as a living. Mm-hmm. It's a hustle. So to say that, just back to Uncle Milton, he came in, and of course, they're around the big table, and he's taking pot shots at my father. And my father was self-conscious about his education and what have you, but he had nothing to tuck his head over. Yeah, he was able to, you know, I never lived in a rented home. So he built his own home. He broke four lots down on Flint Street before Crowder Road was built and developed. The street east, west of Crowder is Flake Avenue. Terrible street. You hear about Flake Street, that's a terrible street. Man. But back then, you know, it was the new frontier for New Orleans. What they call that was Gentilly East. Mm-hmm. So they just picked up the east from that, but Gentilly extended from Franklin Avenue out east. Mm-hmm. When you crossed the canal, it was Gentilly East. Mm-hmm. So, and he built the house. Him and those back in those days, everybody was tradesmen. Mm-hmm. My dad owned what turned out to be Joe and Jean's that you would remember on Prayer and Laparoos, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, Prayer and Laparoos. He sold it, which was Rudy's Tavern, to them. See, my dad was turning a dollar. He started, actually my dad started out as a peddler with the horse and carriage. Hmm. Oh lady, I got the mail, I got the tail, blah, 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 blah. And he sold that to what turned out to be my parent, who carried that over. Of course he bought a truck there, my parent did, so he was a fruit vendor. Mm-hmm. And so he built that house there, but we go back, and like I said, we left from that Pasha Chan Paul. He established his own security company, mm-hmm. who was the first security guard company in Pasha Chan Paul, the first security guard at Sulo. Mm-hmm. With just that meager education.
Okay.
So he really had no reason to feel inferior. But I guess it was, the fact of the matter is he was more man than the uncle was because he took the insults and then whipped his ass. That couldn't happen in my generation.
Right.
You understand? You open your mouth, I'm gonna pop you in it at the dinner table. Dinner's over.
Right.
But my dad, and let me tell you, my dad wasn't a pushover, especially when he had that tavern, he had to bust him. My dad, he really used to bust him in the head with that 38. I think he was rambunctious at the club. He got to protect his place.
Right.
But he wouldn't shoot nobody. He'd bust him in the head. That 38, yeah, pistol. So with that said, on got off.
I was going to say, weren't we talking about gumbo at some
point? Yes.
Gala wine.
Yes, that's what transpired. So yeah, it worked. So. But now, so the gumbo, I looked on this, I have to check. So I wrote that gumbo recipe down.
Well, if not, that's what you need to do today.
Because
I have the recipe that I copied, and then it's supposed to be 4 total.
You're just getting in that number, but I think as we speak, there's the crab cakes, stuffed crab.
Mm-hmm.
That's 2.
Right.
And you should have 2 on there. You should have 4. But see if I can.